familiar to the people of God. We do not live so much in what's called an agrarian culture, where people own a lot of farmland, grow their own food, and you know, have livestock. Some do, but generally most of us, it's fair to say, get most of our food from the grocery store. Okay, not that there's anything wrong with that, but some of this might be a little difficult for us to track with. Okay, but not Amos's hearers, not the original recipients of this letter, this book. They would have understood these very well. So we got to take a little bit of extra time and go through them. Okay. So the first vision comes in verses 1 through 2, and it says this. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, he was forming locusts when the latter growth was just beginning to sprout. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings, when they had finished eating the grass of the land. Okay, so here we have this imagery of God forming locusts. Okay, locust was a type of insect that would eat agriculture, would eat crops very frequently. Locusts were not good for the people of God in general. They came as a sign of God's judgment. Locusts were very destructive, and so locusts were something that farmers did not like. They did not want locusts to come and devour their crops. Okay, but that's what God is doing here. God is forming locusts when the latter growth was just beginning to sprout. And so what he's talking about here is that the best growth would be the last growth. And so God is coming and he's taking the best of what they have. He's getting ready to take the best of what they have. He's getting ready to take what they have left. Because it says in the middle there, and behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. All right, the king's mowings was basically a tax, where the king and his rulers would come and they'd take a small portion of someone's crops or a small portion of someone's income. It's like a tax, right? We have that today. We have to pay taxes, a small portion of our income, to the government, okay? And so that's significant because so they have the best growth and they have the growth that's left after the tax. And that's when God rises up these locusts and begins to eat the crops and the grass of the land. Okay? So we see, what's the big deal about this? What does this mean? Well, first of all, as we've said, Israel lived in an agrarian, agricultural society. Okay? Thus, people's lives depended on the cultivation and production of agricultural goods. They literally depended on it to live. Any threat to the well-being of their crops and produce could be devastating to them. In particular, an infestation of locusts could threaten the whole crop, especially after the king's tax already took away from their net product. So in conclusion, this is a symbolic depiction of judgment upon Israel. Okay? This is a depiction of impending judgment upon God's people. So the first vision represents a judgment by these locusts, okay? That's significant. Let's take a look at the second vision. So in verses 4 here, we have the text say, this is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord God was calling for a judgment by fire, and it devoured the great deep and was eating up the land. So what does this mean? All right. What does it mean that there's going to be a judgment by fire that devours up the land, right? This one's probably not as difficult to interpret. If you've read the Bible, if you've read Genesis, you know that one of the ways God displays judgment is judgment by fire. We see that in stories like Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, you know, as we've seen, any threat to the well-being of crops, of produce, of the land, was very devastating. Fire, particularly wildfires, were especially detrimental to the crop, as it did not possess, so they didn't have a lot of the modern firefighting equipment. You know, just to be very frank, you know, what we're seeing out in California right now is devastating, and it's absolutely devastating. If you're not familiar with what's going on out there are just terrible wildfires in and around LA, and They're just destroying land, destroying houses, and even taking lives. It's a horrible situation. So as we can see, judgment by fire can and is very devastating. And this is what is threatening the people of God. This is what's impending upon the people of God because of their persistence in sin. This text seems to be very personal. It says a judgment by fire. The Lord God was calling by a judgment by fire. So it's not just so much that there's going to be wildfires, but almost a sense of fire from heaven. Almost a sense of a very personal, deliberate judgment by God himself, similar to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. And so what's the big deal? What's the conclusion? Again, it's a symbolic depiction of judgment and destruction upon Israel. So God is wanting to get the point and repeating the point here that Israel, you have not been living as you should. You have not been walking faithfully with me. And so I'm going to give these visions to Amos to speak to you, to show you that if you continue in this, judgment is going to come. And he gives these visions to show what's going to take place. Okay? We have one more vision to look at, and it comes at the end of our text, 7 through 9. And it says, "This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword.'" All right, so let's talk a little bit about this one, okay? So this text uses the imagery of a plumb line. Okay, if you're not familiar with a plumb line is a piece of string or rope, okay, with a weight at the bottom. And what it would be used is it would be set against stone and walls and construction materials. And it would be, you would use that if it, you would hold the string up, and obviously, as you hold that string, the weight is going to be straight down beneath it, as long as you're not waving it around. All right. So if you held it up against a wall, and the weight is straight down, but the wall is over here, you have a crooked wall. Okay. So it was used to make sure that walls and construction and building equipment and materials were straight and level. So it was very important to have a plumb line that was plumb. because if you don't have a straight foundation and a level foundation and straight walls, your roof's going to be off, your rooms are going to be off. It's going to be a bad and unstable house that you got going on. Okay? So God is using this imagery to say, hey, I have though merciful, though gracious, God says, I have a clear line that once you cross, I'm going to discipline and judge you. God has a line that he sets before his people, okay? It's a straight line. It's the standard of righteousness. And if we don't, in essence, aren't living and striving toward that, we can fall into sin and eventually be judged for that and fall into discipline for that. So God is showing Amos this plumb line right here, and he's going to set this plumb line in the midst of his people, and he's never going to pass by them again. And so we see that this clear line that once crossed is going to bring judgment to fruition upon his people. What will the judgment be? Well, we see three things in our text, three specific things, okay, that God indicts Israel for in the text. So first of all, we see Israel's idols of false worship. the high places of Isaac in verse 9, right at the beginning there. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate. And so God is going to judge and destroy these false altars that have been made by people. That's what he's talking about. A high place was a place where sacrifice would take place. A high place was a place where worship and religious activity would take place. And so God is saying that part of the judgment is he's going to destroy that. He's going to get rid of those in Israel. He does not want that anymore. That is going to be gone. Right? And we need to understand that that's one of the things that's part of God's judgment. It's part of God's discipline in the life of his people. Is he will destroy idols in our lives. He will destroy high places in your life. And see that today is a mercy, a good thing, that our God, your God, loves you so much that he doesn't stand to have false worship in high places be the norm in your life. He wants to get rid of that. He wants to destroy that. And that's what he's doing right here amongst people of Israel. So that's the first thing that we see. The second thing that we see is that he destroys Israel's places of false worship. This kind of goes along with the first one, but it's a little bit different. This kind of has the reminiscence of 1 Kings 12. If you're not familiar with 1 Kings 12, I'll read a little bit of it. Remember, this is when, right after the division between Rehoboam, he institutes a new... harsher decree upon the people to produce more with less. And so the division comes into place and the kingdoms divide. And so the king